Good morning, everyone, distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen. My thanks to the SIAA for the opportunity to speak with you today. I plan on giving you an understanding of Defence's use of space and how we can all work together to achieve our desired outcomes. Whilst I'm from or supporting Air Force Headquarters, this presentation does incorporate joint policy and comments. Defence is investing in its space capabilities and strengthening its international relationships to reflect its interests in space. You'd be aware the 2016 White Paper recognised that access to space is critical to Australia's security and acknowledges the Australian Defence Force's reliance on space-based systems. There is a growing concern about the number of national security risks in space and the proliferation of cheap, dual-use technologies to a range of state and non-state actors. Defence will work with other government agencies to ensure that Australia continues to meet its international counter-proliferation obligations. In 2018, Defence released the Defence Industrial Capability Plan, which outlines the government's long-term vision to build and develop an Australian defence industry to best meet capability requirements. The plan identifies that industry, specifically space elements, must be robust, resilient, and internationally competitive. More specifically, at least two of the sovereign industrial capability priorities outlined in the Defence Industrial Capability Plan are directly applicable to our media space-related needs. Surveillance and intelligence data collection, analysis, dissemination, and complex systems integration, which includes developing and upgrading sensors and software, over-the-horizon radar systems, and space situational awareness systems to enhance data collection, analysis and dissemination, and enhanced active and passive phased array radar capability. That's not to say others aren't related as well, such as advanced signal processing capability in electronic warfare, cyber and information security, and signature management technologies and operations. And of course, there's combat clothing survivability and signature reduction technologies that our Aussie astronauts in the Space Force will need. I hope you realise I'm joking about that. Defence is investing in space capabilities. Over the next two decades, Defence will invest nearly $10 billion in space capabilities, many of which will offer opportunities for Australian industry. Broad space-based capabilities that Defence is currently investing in are satellite communications, intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance, space situational awareness, positioning, navigation and timing resiliency, and space R&D, focusing on new and emerging technologies and optimisation of existing systems. This era of defence investment in space capabilities must be underpinned by a strong Australian space industry and research and development ecosystem. But before I go into detail about some specific programs, allow me to quickly describe how Defence sees or uses space. Defence use of space can be briefly summarised using this 5-2-1 model. Five force enhancement missions, with two space assurance missions, defensive space control and offensive space control, all underpinned by the space situational awareness mission. Now for some examples of what Defence is doing in and with space. The first thing you may note is that space isn't just space. Every mission is a complex blend of systems across space, ground, and mission segments. And there's no such thing as a normal space project. Let's talk about space situational awareness first. The Space Awareness Program covers a number of projects in the timeframe of 2018 to 2033. And be an investment of around $1 billion to $2 billion. Under Joint Project 3029, Phase 1, we've relocated a C-band surveillance radar to Harold E. Holt Naval Communications Satellite Station near Exmouth. And we're in the process of relocating the Space Surveillance Telescope there as well, and that's Phase 2. These assets are US-owned, operated by Australian personnel, and jointly sustained and tasked. Joint Project 9351, ADF Space Surveillance Capability, will acquire various space surveillance sensors for the ADF. Sensors are likely to consist of a number of different complementary types. This may include optical, infrared, laser ranging, passive or active radar, space-based sensors, and other emerging sensor technologies. An operating capability is planned in the 2024 to 2025 timeframe. And importantly, Capability Sustainment Group currently has a request for information on AusTender, seeking submissions regarding Australian industry and academic space situation awareness capability. Joint Project 9350, Space Situational Awareness Mission System, is a project to fuse and analyse data from various SSA sensors of different types. Outputs will include updated space object orbital parameters, space object identification data, and collision alert services. The Space Situational Awareness Mission System will aim to be interoperable with the United States and partners, and we're looking for an operational capability around the 2024 to 2025 timeframe as well. Joint Project 9352, radar replacement, seeks an end-of-life replacement for the current C-band radar and a continuation of other space sensor capabilities. The project is still in definition phase and is exploring Australian options for an operational capability in the 2029-2030 timeframe. Joint Project 9355, the Overhead Persistence Infrared Integration. This is a missile warning system but is wrapped up in the Space Awareness Program for Capability Management purposes and provides Australian access to the US-based space-based infrared system using the Australian Mission Processor at number one remote sensing unit. This capability provides Australia a missile warning and battle space characterisation capability. And JP9355 is an ongoing program of data integration and network upgrades. Now we move on to satellite communications. JP2008 has delivered many of our SATCOM capabilities to date and continues to sustain them. These capabilities include hosted payloads on Inmarsat-22 over the Indian Ocean and Optus-C over the Pacific. Most recently, this project saw the ADF purchase the sixth satellite in the US wideband global SATCOM constellation under a masterfully flexible arrangement, which sees Australia enjoy access to 1/6 of the entire WGS constellation rather than to just one satellite or region. Joint Project 9102 will deliver the Australian Defence SATCOM system to enable joint command and control of deployed joint task forces. The system will be designed for resilience and responsiveness, especially in consideration of increasing threats to communication and cyber systems. And I'm especially passionate about a capability like that, having been the Air Commander and Joint Force Air Component Commander. And again, Joint Capability Group has a request for information on AusTender, seeking submissions regarding Australian industry satellite communications capability. Moving to intelligence, surveillance and reconnaissance, Defence Project 799 Phase 1 sees $500 million investment in enhancing space-based ISR capabilities. The project will provide Australia with direct and timely access to commercial imagery satellites to support a wide range of defence operations, border protection and humanitarian missions. Defence's enhanced access to these satellites will increase Australia's capacity to maintain surveillance and improve situational awareness for the ADF and other national security agencies through the provision of high-quality imagery. This project will provide an operational capability in the near future, 2019 to 2020 timeframe. And Defence Project 799 Phase 2 will examine the acquisition of a sovereign geospatial intelligence space surveillance system. The project has a program timeframe around 2023 to 2039 with an approximate investment of $3 to $4 billion. The project has started initial investigation via a two-year study into space capability, cost and options comprising five separate work packages. And there'd definitely be opportunities for industry involvement during the course of this study. And last, but certainly not least, positioning, navigation and timing. The pervasiveness of PNT capability throughout ADF systems is staggering, in an area in which we absolutely must build resilience. Joint Project 9380 Phase 1 will establish a PNT resilience program cell to provide support and advice to the ADF. The cell will inform the introduction of navigation warfare technologies and infrastructure to ensure the ADF has the capability to plan, train and conduct operations when space-based PNT capabilities are contested, degraded or operationally limited. The project will deliver upgraded, enhanced and new technologies across ADF platforms, systems and networks to survive and fight in a contested P&T environment. The planned investment is $750 million to $1 billion, and the initial operating capability will be in the 2024 to 2027 timeframe. So subject matter experts across defence are working hard to develop ADF space-based capabilities across the spectrum of space missions. Some are through international cooperation, but increasingly we're seeking Australian solutions to these problems. Australian industry will have an increasing role to play. To support the effort of these the capability program and project managers, Defence has implemented a variety of industry engagement mechanisms. The 2016 Defence Industry Policy Statement sets out the specific measures the government will take to implement the defence industry policy, including streamlining the numerous defence industry and innovation programs under two broad initiatives funded around $1.6 billion over the decade to 2025-2026. These are, and you would have seen them already, establishing a new Centre for Defence Industry Capability led by an advisory board comprised of private sector and defence representatives to drive the strategic relationship with defence. And fostering a new approach to innovation through closer collaboration between defence industry and research organisations to jointly develop game-changing innovation and commercialisation opportunities. And these are through two streams of funding, the Next Generation Technologies Fund, to invest in strategic technologies that have the potential to develop game-changing capabilities managed by Defence Science and Technology Group, and the Defence Innovation Hub, to undertake collaborative innovation activities from initial concept through prototyping and testing to introduction to service, and you would have seen investment in these funds already. Defence is embarking on an unprecedented program of investment in space capabilities, especially sovereign capabilities, having relied upon allied capabilities for some time. And this represents an incredible opportunity for Australian industry. So engagement will be the key, both as our industry grows and as space expertise within defence grows. You can expect that defence engagement with industry will be as diverse as the projects we support. Different capability needs will require different operating and acquisition models, from full defence ownership to public-private partnerships, to fee-for-service models. All will be considered as appropriate for the capability need and value for money represented. To support these efforts, we must be supported by a strong space industry ecosystem in which industry, academic and research institutions and investors combine not only to meet defence's needs, but to build a national wealth of space expertise and experience. Space is naturally a global endeavour, and we look forward to employing the geography, expertise and leadership right across Australia in our space endeavours. We must work together as a nation to achieve our future. A strong defence capability is supported by strong industry. A competent workforce of ADF, APS and contractors will deliver, operate and sustain our future space capabilities. I don't want to make it sound like we're offloading onto industry, though. Defence is upskilling its own workforce through increased space content in professional military education programs and a significant increase in the number of space-specific positions and roles. Our research agreement with the University of New South Wales, Canberra, is a key example, with the UNSW providing master's degrees in space operations and engineering and soon adding space content to its undergraduate programs. But we need to underpin that with an Australian-wide development of STEM skills and interest in space in our youth. They are our, and I mean the collective our, future, and space is pretty cool, so that shouldn't be hard. Although dinosaurs are cool too. I do see that awareness is also going to be a challenge. And by that I mean awareness of commercial opportunities that can be used by defence. We don't know what we don't know, but also the problem of commercial and academic entities not being aware of some of the more classified projects that may have already been or are being conducted, so don't waste your time and money. Somehow we have to break down the barriers and be able to have a clear and cogent conversation that supports our need for security but also keeps industry and academia informed. And this is Skates' view, but maybe a secure sandbox that we can all play in. Finally, Defence is heavily engaged with the not-so-new Australian Space Agency. Led by a Strategic Policy and Intelligence Group, Defence sits on the Agency-led Space Coordination Committee, and Air Force has seconded a liaison officer to the agency one day per week to help identify collaborative opportunities. Several agency and defence priorities are aligned: space situational awareness, satellite communications, positioning, navigation and timing are all areas of interest to defence and civil priorities for the agency. And we'll continue to seek opportunities to collaborate during this exciting time for both organisations. Thank you.